My commission on earth, the testimony of Jesus Christ, by Maria Fontaine. Chapter 1. Before I left earth to return to my Father, I told my disciples and the many believers who would follow, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And now, my dear children of David, I want to tell you the good news, that at long last my mission is nearly complete. Yes, just a while longer, and we'll all be joined together for eternity. I tell you this to encourage your hearts, for it won't be long now. I tell you this that you might keep your eyes looking upward to heaven, that you might live in the heavenly vision, for it is near. At this very moment, I myself am personally tending to every detail of the final preparations of your arrival and return home, adding final touches to your mansions and your rewards. I am adding touches of splendor and glory and brilliance where needed, strokes of extra luster, a wee more dazzle and glory and shine for you, my faithful ones, who are deserving for your jobs well done. As I finish up your heavenly abodes, as I walk down the avenues of heaven, checking that everything is in order and ready to receive you, the anticipation mounts within my heart. All who have gone before you in the heavens eagerly await your arrival. Just to think of these glorious moments makes my heart beat with an excitement unmatched by any other. I scarce can contain the joy half bursting inside at the very thought of your arrival. Oh, the thrilling knowing it's only a short while longer till that magic moment when you all be home at last. Chapter 2. In the midst of all this excitement, I slip away for a moment of quiet reflection. As I walk the halls of heaven, taking a few quiet moments alone and in meditation, I pause to reflect a while on that momentous day when my Father called me to his side to reconfirm my great commission. What a monumental day that was! I knew I was destined since the beginning to fulfill this mission, and I knew that as we were about to discuss the details, it was going to be of great significance. I was about to be faced with the opportunity to fulfill my crowning achievement of all time. I knew that in the decision that lay before me, I held the awesome power to change the course of world history. So my Father and I walked. We walked and we talked as the refreshing, soft breeze of heaven's gardens sang sweet tunes of melodic praises in our honor. It was a sobering time as we looked down from the heavens and observed the children of men and the state of the earth under man's own rule. Prior to this time, I had watched and observed the ways of man and the consequences he faced in making his own wrong choices. Since the beginning of time, I was very intricately involved and active in the affairs of mankind. Yet I knew that unless I became flesh and dwell among you as one of you, I would not be able to fully understand human ways and be fully touched with the feelings of your infirmities. In order to feel as you do, to be tested in all points as you are, I had to become one with you, to take on the form of human flesh in order to become a better high priest, your mediator. I looked on man's ways with disappointment, for if man as a whole had made better choices, they would have not reaped the oftentimes binding, restrictive, and hurtful results. Yet they so often chose a path contrary to the ways of heaven. As my Father and I walked, we looked and considered all that we had created, and the cries of mankind rose up in our ears. Heartbroken for the state of the world, we counseled together, for we knew the hour had come that was ordained since the beginning of time, and now we would need to take action to remedy the situation. Chapter 3. It was then that my Father and I went over the plan that was ordained from the foundation of the earth, for we both knew this day would come because of man's own choices, when there would be a dire need and the salvation of mankind would be at stake. Yet once again my father presented me with a choice and a decision that I alone could make. If you, my loves, were to be savaged from Satan's clutches, if you, for whom we created all the heavens and all the earth, and whom we love so completely, were to make your way home again, action needed to be taken. What must I do, Father? I asked. Am I to become a missionary to earth, that salvation may be given to all mankind? Yes, my son, precisely, for you alone, as my only begotten son, hold the key to redemption in your hand. In that moment, the thoughts raced through my head. Just think of all that this would entail. Leave the halls of heaven for a time to venture out on a long journey. Leave the halls of heaven to become a missionary to earth and the savior of mankind. Leave the halls of heaven to bear the burdens of all the world on my shoulders, to right the wrongs and break the bands of wickedness that threaten your souls. Leave the halls of heaven to overcome the world and set you free. Leave the halls of heaven and undergo physical death, that you, my loves, might be set free from death forever. Leave the halls of heaven to win you back, that you might return to my everlasting arms. Yes, this was my mission, a commission that I could not refuse. The task would not be easy, for in order to accomplish it, I would have to take on the cloak of human flesh. I would have to become flesh and dwell among you, become one with you in every way, to live as you live, to feel as you feel, to know joy as you know joy, to laugh as you laugh, to cry as you cry, to suffer pain as you suffer pain. I would have to take on every one of your burdens, your pain, all your suffering, on my own frail human shoulders. I would have to die the death of a sinner so that you might rise and live forever. Looking deep into my father's eyes and he into mine, there was no need for further words. Every thought and every intent of my heart was made clear. Neither of us questioned as we stood in the grace and glory and majesty of heaven. Our hearts yearning to have all of you, our precious children, safely home again. We knew what sacrifice would need to be made. And so unfolded the greatest love story the universe will ever know, for there is no greater love than this, the Father giving his only begotten Son, that you might live. And so I prepared for my missionary journey. Chapter 4. It was amid the cheers of jubilant praises of my heavenly send-off, in those last parting moments before my arrival on earth, that my Father embraced me in his arms as never before, and we wept. So great a sacrifice was unprecedented in all time, yet we could not change our minds. Our love for you was pure and steadfast, constant and unchanging, and we had no regrets. Nevertheless, the tears flowed down from our eyes, for the thought of parting was indeed a great forsaking. This remains even now a mystery to you, my dear ones, for it will not be until you arrive home to heaven that you will be able to completely understand the full depth of this great, great forsaking, what is referred to in heaven as the ultimate forsaking, that you might live. The tears flowed between us in that difficult moment when it came time for my father and me to part. Though inseparable in all our ways, for a time I would be the Son of Man as well as the Son of God. Yet we knew deep in our hearts that there could be no price too big to pay in order to save you, our dear loves. So what seemed bitter tears of forsaking turned to tears of joy, for we knew it would be worth it all. All our life, all our love, all heaven has to offer to redeem you. Having you by our sides once again was well worth all we had to give in order to recapture you from Satan's grip. For me, the very thought of leaving the splendor of heaven and all my glorious surroundings was not nearly as daunting as the thought of leaving my father's side, for I had always known his direct presence, although I knew he would always be with me. As I set out on my earthly mission, I also knew that as I took on the cloak of human flesh, I would be venturing out to know him in a way I had not known him before. Yes, I, your high priest, stood in those moments on the brink of the unknown in a sense, for it was not until I became a man and walked in human flesh that I was able to be fully touched with the feelings of your infirmities. It was in becoming one with you as a human that I was able to feel as you feel, to experience as you experience, and this was to enable me to be your high priest. I had to pass the same tests you must pass. I had to be tempted in all things as you are tempted, and nothing was to escape me nor slip by me. I knew that I would learn obedience through this experience as a man and through the things I was to suffer as I took on my earthly commission. I knew that as I became one with you in every way, I would never be the same. Chapter 5. I'm telling you this now, my loves, how I took on the cloak of human flesh, how I am touched with your feelings, how I was tested as you are tested, that this one thought might encourage your hearts. As you enter the great days ahead, let this spark your faith. Think on these things, my loves, and know that if I was tempted in all points as you are tempted, and if I could make it, you can make it too. I held on to heaven and heaven held on to me, just as heaven will hold on to you as you call on me. Though the dark days are falling, heaven will bring you thoughts to victory time and time again. Let this thought encourage your hearts and remember that in flesh I was no different than you. I had to make the same choices. I was faced with the same tests. I had to experience the same battles and trials. This was my great testing, to become a man, to take on human flesh and all its frailties and weaknesses so that you could live forever. Think about this and let it spur you on in the days to come, that just as I resisted the wiles of Satan, so can you, through my word and the eternal victory which I have already given you. I was the Son of God encased in frail human flesh. I took on your form so that I might better understand you. And in order to understand you fully, I had to make myself subject to the same weaknesses you battle. I had to know what it was like to endure, to fight, to withstand, to resist temptation, to feel weary. In order to fully understand you, I had to experience these things. And yet I came with another mission as well, not only one of understanding you, but helping you to understand me and my love, and my Father's love. To do that, I had to retain my knowledge of heaven, my knowledge of my mission on earth, and the connection with my Father in order to pass those things on to you and be a sample of the love that we have for each of you. But I had to fight to keep the vision just as you have to fight to keep the vision. When I say that I was no different from you, I mean that at any time I could have chosen to stop what I was doing, to quit the mission of love that I was on. I could have said that it was too difficult, that I was too weary, that I was not received as I should have been. It's much the same with you. You have more of my word and my promises than any other people who have ever lived. You have more knowledge of heaven and my will and my ways and my plan than anyone else who has ever walked this earth, save me. I have put within you the knowledge of these things and continued to feed you the new wine of heaven so that you might have the strength, as I had the strength, to complete your mission. But like it was for me, it is your choice. My Father could not do it for me. Each day I had to decide anew. I had to rise early when I was tired in order to go out and commune with my Father and receive strength for the day. So it is with you. The same communication with heaven is available to you, my precious ones. Chapter 6. Just as I retained the knowledge of heaven and of my mission on earth, even so have I given you a clear knowledge of my plan for you and your mission to bring others to me through laying down your life in love. Even as my Father was proud of me, so am I proud of you, my precious ones. I love you and believe me when I say that I understand. I too was tested and tempted, and I too felt weary and tired. but my father gave me strength to hang on, just as I give you strength as you look to me. It won't be long now, my precious loves, before you are joined with me in heaven, never again to have to experience the severe testings of earth. I love you. I'm sharing these details with you of how I forsook all and came down from heaven because I want you to know the great, immense love that drives me to you. I want you to know that though my forsaking was so great, I have no regrets. I want you to know, my dear ones, how greatly I anticipate the day when we will be reunited in our heavenly home. I tell you this at this time so that you might keep your eyes on heaven and let this be the driving force in your lives and the days ahead. For this truly was my key to victory. I had to keep my eyes on heaven. I had to set my face like a flint and live with the vision of heaven ever before me. And this pulled me through. Therefore, look up, dear ones, for the time is near when we will be reunited in our heavenly home. And oh, what a day that will be! How my love for you thrives! Therefore, draw on this love so that it may carry you through the days ahead. Even as I, when I walked on the earth, also learned to draw on my Father's love, and it carried me through. It carried me back home to heaven. My love will do the same for you as you depend on me to carry you through. Chapter 7. Now, my loves, as I am putting the final touches of your heavenly abodes, making ready to receive you home, you too must continue your preparations. Make them sure, make them steady, and make yourselves ready for that glorious day as you prepared yourselves for the final hour. This is your commission now. Prepare yourselves, for the night is falling, and remember, I am near. Open your eyes and know that the time is fast approaching. It is even now at the doors. World conditions are worsening at breakneck speed, and there is no turning from the course which they have set themselves upon. Now is the time, my brave children of David. This is the eve of the great day of miracles. Though the night falls upon the face of the earth, these are the days when you will shine. Therefore, prepare. This is the eve of the days of great signs and wonders that I will do on your behalf. Therefore, be glad and let this encourage your hearts, for I am here to see you through. Mark your days and use them wisely. Prepare by continuing to read, absorb, and drink in all that I have rained down upon you these many months. Prepare yourselves by hearkening to my voice, by receiving my words. Let them be your guiding light. Continue to move forward, ever forward, onward and upward, for as you fix your eyes on heaven, heaven will shine down upon your faces, and this will give you strength. Be encouraged, for the time is near when I will descend from above with a mighty shout. Every eye will see, and every ear will hear as I rock the earth in that day of great and final victory, final triumph, final overcoming, as we are joined once again, never more to part. It won't be long now, my loves. The day that I have long awaited draws near, and your glory will shine from the ends of earth and throughout the heavens. You will shine with the glory of endurance and yieldedness. You will shine with the glory of victory. You will shine as soldiers returning from a battle victorious. You will glow with the light of victory, for in me you will have overcome. Yes, you will shine, not with your own light, but because of your yieldedness. You, my brave and valiant ones, will be highly honored before all nations because you held on as I held on. Therefore, be encouraged and prepare to march on strong. Chapter 8. I left the halls of heaven for you. When my Father commissioned me to leave the great halls of heaven to bring you his message of love, I felt a mix of emotions. On the one hand, I was excited with the thrill of a great commission. I was raring to go. I was bursting at the seams to tell the good news, to turn things around, to turn things right side up on my mission field of the earth. and yet in many ways I was scared of falling and of failing. I struggled and found it difficult to leave the warmth and security of heaven. I was tempted to say no, and for a while I almost didn't want to let go. The task seemed too great. The thought of leaving all the splendor and all the glory of heaven was almost more than I could comprehend or accept at first. But I obeyed, I went, and I soon found that the love I had within, the love of heaven, was love enough to sustain me. I went out, and it was a rude awakening at first. I quickly learned that it was going to take a little time. My mission was not going to come about in one swift fell swoop of an overnight change. I found that things were not as I had expected. There I was, so eager to see things change and to win others into the heavenly realm. But my Father, in his loving wisdom, had a plan, and we're all a part of this plan. I had to come to the realization that I, too, needed to learn further precious lessons. And so I continued, and I learned through the things that I suffered. I learned through my obedience. As I kept going, I learned that I could carry heaven in my heart, and that I could spread it to others. I went and I learned that heaven was in me, a part of me, and no man could ever take it away. I went and I learned that my Father's loving hand would not fail, could not fail. I kept on and I kept obeying, and the glory of heaven was made manifest in me. Chapter 9. Look at my sample and be encouraged. As I went, I learned patience, for things were not always as I had expected. Peter, James, John, Andrew, and the others didn't always catch on as quickly as I would have liked. They didn't understand at first when I tried to share with them about the great love in my heart, the great love of heaven, the great love that I wanted to give. I tried to help them, but they needed time to be able to grasp it all. I tried to explain to them about the glory and the splendor of heaven. I tried to help them see that they, too, could have it in their hearts. But again, it took some time. Each one caught on at a different pace. So I had to go slow. I had to be sensitive to each individual, to each need. I had to handle each tender heart accordingly. It was a test of my patience and my love. I found that although my words were important, the living sample of my love was more easily understood. Many times I needed to take the time to love them, to show the way. I kept on and I learned how to be a plotter. I learned how to take things a step at a time. I learned faith. I learned how to look up to my Father above. I learned how not to give up. I learned many things through that which I suffered. I missed the constant peacefulness and tranquility that I had known in heaven. But I soon learned it was right there in my heart all the time. It was always with me. I just had to tap in and avail myself of the peace that passed all understanding. I felt the burden and the press of the people. I heard the noise and felt the confusion, the worry and the tension. It was surreal, and I was right there in the middle of it. I felt their anxiety. I felt their pain. Through it all, I was touched with the feelings of their infirmities, and I learned compassion and tolerance. Often I wanted to be able to just snap my fingers and set all things in order. I could have called down all the legions of heaven to set things straight. But it didn't work that way, and my Father didn't plan it that way. He knew that I needed to learn, and that I would learn, and that others would eventually learn too, and come around to being set free and following closer. He knew that the lesson I was learning and the choices I was making, and others too, were of far greater importance and would bear far greater fruit. He had a plan and purpose, and it was all being accomplished. With each passing minute, with each test of my patience and each test of my faith, I was learning, and I was becoming what the Father wanted me to become. I was being groomed for greater things ahead. I was being prepared to face the greatest decision of my life. My Father knew the importance of this great decision. He knew how much was hinging on my weak shoulders, yet he was so lovingly preparing me, teaching me, guiding me, strengthening me. And the others were learning. They too were becoming what he wanted them to become. All things were working together for our good. I was learning how to pray with each situation, each difficulty that would arise when I was tempted to lose my patience, lose my temper, lose my cool, when I didn't know what to do. I had no place to look but up, up to heaven, up to my Father. And through it all, He taught me how to pray. Yes, I learned all these things when I went out from my bubble of love, this heavenly abode. I had all the truth of heaven within, and yet it took time to teach others. It took patience to love. It took wisdom to give. It took long suffering to keep plodding along day by day. And the days of my flesh when there was a task too big, too hard for human hands, I came to know the full power of my Father. I learned to lean on Him with all my heart and all my soul and all I had in me. And in this leaning, I found my strength. Chapter 10. I knew that heaven was real. I knew the love of the Father. I knew the splendor of heaven. This kept me going, and it will keep you going too. It lived in my heart, and no problem was too big. No difficulty was too hard. No mountain was too high to take that away. As long as I kept my eyes on heaven, I was sustained. As long as I looked to my Father, He gave the answers that I needed. I was tempted, I was buffeted, and I had to make choices whether to fight on or not. I had to decide if I was going to hold on or give up. Even though I knew all the glories of heaven, I too was tempted time and again to give in to peer pressure or to compare myself with others. I was tested on my obedience, on my yieldedness, on my faithfulness, and even the littlest things. I had to choose to love. I was tested on my love and how I was going to love. I had to choose to forsake all, and I had to keep forsaking all. I had to choose if I was willing to share those closest to me with others. I had to decide whether I was going to share love or live selfishly. When the devil took me up to a high mountain to show me all the kingdoms of the world, I had to make difficult choices. I had to decide if I was going to live a worldly life or live for heaven. I was tempted, and the fight was long and hard. Finally, I had to make the hardest choice of all, the choice of whether or not I wanted to die for you. But I made the right choice, and I had never regretted it. I have never been sorry because you are the fruit of my right choices. You, my precious bride, are worth every bit of it. Because I made the right choices, here you are in my arms today. So don't forget, as the devil fought me, he'll also fight you. But don't be afraid, for I will help you if you look to me. Just as I kept my eyes straight ahead, firmly fixed on the Father, and He held me and sustained me and helped me to make the right choices, I will do the same for you. Chapter 11. Rising a great while before day, I went out into a solitary place and there prayed. I needed that time alone. I needed that time between me and my Father for refreshing, for clarity of thought, heart, and spirit. For those were busy days. I was surrounded by my team, who needed so much care, love, and training. There was always so much to teach them. They were fun, I enjoyed them. They were wonderful folks. Each one was special, each one was different. Some were simple, some were quite bright and clever. Others were talented, special people, I'd say. Each one had his own mind, his own will, his own heritage and background that made him unique, special and different. Learning to shepherd and care for them and lead them was a challenge for me. Wooing them, winning them, understanding them, convincing them, cajoling them, staying a step ahead and leading them, encouraging them to follow, even though most of the time I realized that they didn't understand where we were going. It was a great learning experience for me, as well as a time of my biggest ministry while on earth in the flesh. But in order to endure and to perform the role that I was called to play during that time, it was imperative that I had those little times away, those little breaks where I could get strengthened, where I could look down the road. I needed times when I could step back from the face-to-face hands-on care of those around me and the immediate situations that I had to deal with continually throughout the day while in action with my team, traveling around witnessing, laying the groundwork for all that was to come in the future. You may not see down the road as much as you would like, but the important thing is that you stay with me, that you keep your face turned toward me. Having done that, as you look back, you will see how I led step by step, get away like I did, somehow, some way, some place, for a quiet time with me and me alone. Remember how I got up early and went out, up into the mountain to pray. I had to, otherwise I wouldn't have been able to carry on. But when I did, it was so wonderful. In those times I was able to fill up and be refreshed. I would breathe off the heavenly air and receive power, such magnetic power from on high. When I launched out in the days of my earthly ministry, I had no earthly shepherds to look to. My Father above and my earthly parents had poured into me. They had prepared me, and the time came when I was to move on to a new phase of my life. It was during those times that I grew into full stature and full usefulness. These were many times that I felt those around me did not care, that they did not listen, or were not willing to take correction. I felt the burden and the strain and the loneliness of leadership, of shepherding. But it was in those times I learned to lean on my Father, to draw strength from Him, and I found faith to carry on. I passed many long and lonely hours and was tempted by Satan time and again, wondering if it was really worth it all. When my poor bungling babes and even my most trusted veterans seemed aloof, irresponsible, distant, not pulling the load, this was a test for me. I was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, sometimes being tempted to wonder if they would ever catch on. I was tempted many times with an overwhelming feeling of, what is the use? But this compelled me to look up, to lean heavily on my Father above. Chapter 12. On my great mission, I faced extreme, difficult conditions. Not only were my disciples and I living in very close quarters, but many times, the extreme discomforts of living outdoors much of the time took a heavy toll on us physically. While living on the road, we often faced the uncertainty of not knowing where we would lay our head at night. And this was difficult. It was a fight, and took concentrated effort on my part to find a place of quiet and rest where the crowds could not molest. Everywhere I walked, everywhere I went, I was in demand. I was in the limelight of the crowds who expected me to pour out, or I had to fight off scoffers, scorners, and those who would seek to do me harm. This often was draining, and I was sometimes tempted to fall under the weight of it all. I lived in extreme conditions on every side. I felt the pressure in the confines of my close fellowship with the 12 and from the multitudes to whom we ministered. I faced many, many long, lonely hours, and I longed to have that direct face-to-face personal contact with my Father above. I longed for those days of heaven I once knew, where I was protected within our bubble of counsel and fellowship, and where I had always received direct, loving oversight. I even came to the point in a lonely moment when I felt so forsaken, and I was tempted asking my Father, "Why have you forsaken me?" "Yes, I know. I understand the burdens, the weights that you feel." For I felt the pressures and the burdens and the loneliness of leadership. It was through all these testings, it was through this precious time that I grew into full stature. It was through all these experiences and times of loneliness, when I was tempted to despair, that my direct link to heaven was established. It was during this time that I was put to the test, that I was able to lean wholly on my Father above, and in leaning, find my strength. It was in those lonely, dark hours that I found in all my leaning that His strength was enough to see me through. It was out of what seemed like deep, dark experiences that I discovered the power I had at my fingertips, and not only at my fingertips, but within me. It was through these trying times that I grew to learn that all this was necessary to make me into what I needed to be. For had I not passed through these testings, Had any of the circumstances been different, I would not have been so desperate to call on my father. I never would have learned what he was able to do through me. Through my frail fleshly state, I learned that in my flesh I could do nothing. But in the power of the Spirit, through these deep experiences and trying times, as I called on my Father, I was able to avail myself of His full power. I became flesh that I might fight for you, that I might understand you, that I might be your intercessor, that I might be your good shepherd. And all that you are passing through, I will use to make you into what I want and need you to be, if you will only look to me. For as my Father led me, carried me, and worked through me during my time on earth, so will I carry you. For as my Father was with me, so am I with you. For just as my Father could see the full range, the full picture, so do I. I know and I see and I am able to guide you like no other. I see every angle, not only from an earthly perspective, but from the heavenly. Please remember to take this time. You're going to need it even more than I did, because as I promised, you are going to do even greater works than I did. The world is even darker now in these last days, and you are going to need even more power than I did when I walked in the flesh. You are going to need it in order to be able to stem the tide of iniquity that has covered the earth. But don't worry. You've got nothing to fear. Keep your eyes right here on heaven. Keep coming. Keep loving me the way you have been. And know that I am with you always. I hold you in my everlasting arms. Chapter 13. Look to my own example. For when I was faced with the crowds and the multitudes, I knew I could not solve the problems. How was I ever going to come up with enough food to feed 5,000 people from a mere 5 loaves and 2 fishes? That was an impossible task, but I did not worry about it. I could not worry about it. I only had to accept by saying, "Yes, Father, you were right. I cannot do this. I cannot, but you can." And my Father did. He did what I, in my own strength, could not do. And you know, I did not feed those 5,000 by organizing fishing boats and sending my disciples out to catch fish first thing. I fed the 5,000 by quiet trust and full assurance, knowing that what my Father had promised, He was also able to perform. All I did was look up and cast my burden on my Father. He sustained me, and He sustained the crowds and 5,000 ate that day, but I had to truly trust first. I had to take the stand of faith first for my Father to do the miracle. Afterward came the organization and distribution of the goods, but the quiet trust and the stand of faith came first. The situations and the problems and the burdens and the presses of the people about me were many. The aches and the pains and the agonies of the people, the cries about me of, "It can't be done." Many of my followers were tossed and tumbled about with doubts and discouragement on every side. I heard the cries and the groanings, and they weighed heavily upon me.